You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
We're talking about classic jokes back here. Just things you grew up saying that are really terrible and stupid. You ever, Dan, ever, anyone ever say to you, hey, Dan, your epidermis is showing. It's your skin.
Idiot.
Because it sounds naughty.
What's the capital of Thailand? What is it? Bangkok.
Good jokes.
Then I hit you right in the dick.
The jokes that form you. 786-456.
We're not doing that.
No?
Speaking of which, the jokes that form you, you allegedly own a highlight team. I saw it on ESPN2, shockingly.
I think it's three, but either way.
No, I saw it.
You saw it on the Deuce during the Ocho weekend, but going forward, it's going to be on the Trey.
I saw it on ESPN2 last week.
The Deuce.
I was shocked.
During the Ocho weekend.
I got it. I understand. It did keep flashing the graphics of ESPN Ocho while showing highlight. But then what I saw, and I've got to think this is a source of contention, is video of Mike Ryan collecting a trophy on the fronton floor because the real owner of the highlight team, Chris Cody, decided to go on a cruise during the championship week, which is not something I've seen a lot of owners do throughout the history of sports. Where they
it's
just
a power move, you could say.
Yeah.
Look, you're trying to divide us. It's not going to happen.
Not going to
a united front.
Typical media.
Mm-hmm.
Typical lamestream media trying to
find your story.
Force a wedge where there is none. Chris and I have been in lockstep pretty much the entire time. Any rumors of there being a schism is completely fabricated by the media.
I seem to remember on the Monday after the Cesta Cyclones won the championship, Mike claiming ownership of the team.
You do things to get, you know, people talking.
Yeah.
You know?
We played you.
It was a great driver
for the sport. Now we're on ESPN Trey.
Look where it got us.
Chris, I don't remember you coming into the studio thrilled at how much camera time Mike Ryan got as the new owner. You guys are putting on a good public face right
same,
now.
Same tricks.
Look.
You've got nothing.
Toners.
Media man.
That's what we are. Two owners.
Yes. Two owners. Better than one. Yep. And guess what? The Cessna Cyclones, we are proud to announce, are running that shit back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Emotional weekend. We had a draft. We finalized our squad. Did we have to make some difficult decisions? Maybe. But that's what you do when you have one goal. Championship.
So why maybe? Why can't we just talk about
it? All right, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it
because our partnership got tested a little bit over the draft weekend because I thought we were team run it back.
Yeah.
And we brought back four of our very best players. Yeah. Might have exploited a loophole in order to get the fourth one back.
When you have a Manny and Manu, you don't make all the decisions. You bring them in. It's like having LeBron makes decisions to help out the Lakers. We have a Manny and a Manu.
And it's worked out really well.
So I'm not going to go in there and say, hey, we're bringing back Jeddin. We're bringing back Joseph. That's it. That's the final say. I may have suggested it. And when my team tells me, hey, we might have to go a different lane here and pick up Williams.
Did your players recognize you? Because they were celebrating with their other
owner. They might have said, where's Mike? But then I was like, hey, sorry about that cruise. I'm back. And then we hugged, and me and Manu are good as new.
In a team bonding experience, I went on a cruise this weekend to make sure that there was zero beef.
Did I badmouth Mike maybe a little to them? Like, look, this guy takes a cruise during draft week, huh? I didn't do that. I did it tongue-in-cheek. You know, it was all fun.
Because that would be poor form.
Yeah, poor form.
Whittingham, we were supposed to go out to the Dolphins last week, and that got canceled when they got an unprecedented tampering penalty. Welcome to a...
The sounds that you're hearing is Stugatz slamming his phone in water bottle.
Stugatz is arriving.
Hello!
He sounds like the weekend.
I sound great.
Yeah. So we didn't draft, just to be clear, I want to close this loop. We did not draft Joseph.
No, we brought back Jeddin. Super Bowl champion, University of Miami guy. Love his energy. Love his growth as a highlight. Because he just picked up the sport. He's growing. the team consensus, we got to bring back Jeddon. Joseph's available for us with the sixth pick. But Williams is there. So it becomes a thing where you have 3 minutes to pick. It's like Joseph is like, we love Joseph. We could run it back with the same team. But Williams is here. Williams actually cousins with Jeddon. So that's a little nepotism there. But that, I swear to you, that was not like...
We're against nepotism, generally.
I don't think that was nepotism. I don't think that that is...
Well, no, we ended up taking Williams.
Well, but I still don't think cousins makes it nepotism. Well, but
if you have family.
If you have two choices, one of which you're running it back with the same team, and the other one is like a cousin of a player you already drafted, you can make the argument.
On the surface,
I'm with you, Dan. Nepotism, man, that guy worked for that spot.
I thought nepotism was just either father to son or father to daughter.
It could be relatives or friends, according to... Wikipedia.
There you go. I always knew you knew what you were talking about when it came to nepotism.
But so we went with Williams, Dan.
Yeah, but the problem is he looked Joseph dead in the eye and said that he was drafting him.
That was the issue. Before the draft, there was just a lot of like adapts, like, what's up, man? Good to
see
you.
All the players were there.
And this is so real, these guys. Like, we like to have fun and joke. This was serious to them. And I, you know, Joseph comes up before the draft and I just hit him. I think I hit him with we're hoping for it. Like, I hit him with something vague that I'm just like, all right, hopefully he gets that taken.
That doesn't sound like how that went down. I think Joseph might be feeling lied to.
No, I know. But it's my first draft
What do you mean, I know?
In hindsight, I expected us, I was going in thinking, hey, we're probably, if he's there, we'll take him. And then we got to the spot and we could have taken Joseph.
Joseph and I learned a tough lesson over the weekend. It's not show friends, it's show business.
Yeah. And I feel bad, dude. I legitimately afterwards felt remorse. I almost wanted to go back up to him and like blame it on the players.
But then we started putting together our lineups and we saw what we look like with Williams now. And ESPN Trey is not going to know what hit it, man. And this week is a big week for the Cessna Cyclones because we have a major Cyclone announcement coming up. I'm so excited about it. I can't even let a little of it squeak out right there. But the stars are coming out to support the franchise. In Battle Court.
That was an interesting part of the night. I won't say it because we don't want to give away the surprise, but they went around. I'll just say there was a every team has a charitable aspect now, and they went around, and all the other teams have hospitals association. I'm not going to say what our association is, but it didn't land as well as children's hospitals.
It's NIL.
I was like, this team is representing this children hospital. No. This one is this team. And then it's like, and the Levitard is doing something with NIL. They'll get back to us.
Go Canes.
Mike is just funneling money to the University of Miami now through gambling.
Hey, don't tell me how to run my team, media man.
Through gambling entities. So, Whittingham, we were supposed to go out. We'll get to Stugazz's Hall of Fame weekend in a second. It was very exciting.
It's a doozy.
To see him. Yeah, Stugazz has come in, and he doesn't smell like what I imagine the Hall of Fame to smell like, but he smells like the weekend. And remnants of Baselli. Baselli's going to join us here in a little bit. But before we do that, I really do want to know, as Tyreek Hill says Xavien Howard locked him up in practice and he's tired of seeing Xavien Howard and he wants to see players from other teams. And then I see a video of Tyreek Hill catching a ball deep downfield but a little bit out of bounds. Is that what we're going to do? Are we just going to sit around waiting for a play that the entire sport is trying to prevent? The entire sport is built, every defense is built to make sure you do not allow anyone to score 80 yards in one play. Make them go 12, 14, 16 yards. Mike Ryan is now showing me a photo of Tyreek Hill's arm.
Looks jacked.
I mean, it looks like a leg. It looks.
He looks like Hulk Hogan in the 1980s. That is a massive arm. He is so fast, so quick, but on top of that, he is one of the strongest pound-for-pound players in the NFL.
His arms look like legs, and he caught a pass a little bit out of bounds, 60 yards downfield, and Tua is mad at us that his wedding news got out. Let's get to the sound of Tua being mad at us, because I do think it's quaint trying to keep that private. That should be something just for you. And I feel like when it comes to celebrity, we simply don't allow that anymore. If you're a famous person and you get married, it will not be private.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very special. I don't know who ended up leaking it, but you must have been waiting outside the courthouse for an entire week or something. I mean, for me, I love to keep my life as private as possible. And, you know, that's what we tried to do with me, my wife, and my family. But, you know, obviously, in this world, that's not how it is. It's almost kind of disrespectful, if you will, by doing that. But it is what it is. And shoot, can't do anything about it. And guys, I have a wife.
Has a marriage changed your perspective on anything, life?
I mean, no girls for me, I guess, if you will. I mean, you know, if that's the perspective. But yeah, I mean, same focus, you know, same focus. The season, what we got here in training camp.
That was a weird answer.
Super strange answer.
All of it was strange. Love him like a son, though.
It's the most interesting clip of Tua's
career. I like this Tua, man. I really do.
Tua has been the most boring quote forever, and that, like, this, he just threw a lot at
that's
us
him
right there.
That is him enraged and not understanding what marriage is.
I guess we don't keep that secret in this world. Yeah, this world is Earth. I mean, normal people who aren't star quarterbacks are subject to that news kind of leaking out there. There's government filings out there. Disrespectful. Maybe he was trying to reach for words. I'll give him all the excuses in the book. I mean, you know, he's still learning. Still young. Still great. You seen those videos that are illegally shot?
What's Greg Cody's excuse for doing that to me?
I mean, that was amongst friends.
Great profit.
Like, I can understand if Andy Slater's out there saying, hey, according to this this filing from the court, the star quarterback got married. You know, that name is unique to South Florida. So I imagine it
Slater's.
Slater's. Yeah. Mm. I mean, you can make an argument for that, too.
It really doesn't take a private detective once that name scrolls across some government paperwork.
Who could this be? we had a Tagovailoa apply for a marriage license.
It does. A government clerk sees that name, and it might not be Hal Habib sitting outside the courthouse for a week.
It's not.
That's a perfect name for that.
I don't think this is Inside Edition's crack journalism staff. I think this one was easy to piece together, and they meant no disrespect. It's not a disrespect. Do you think it's disrespectful to just say an announcement? No one gave any opinion. They just said as a news item, hey, congrats to Tua. He's now married.
Well, he has identified it as kind of disrespectful, if you will, I think. That's rabid for him. Like, that is him chewing off the media's face. He has been storming around complaining to his family for days, can you believe the media did this?
I'm really happy for him. Congrats to you. I'm sorry that that I might have circulated that report in a group chat once or twice. That's on me. I meant no disrespect. You've just presented it to me, and as disrespect, I will take that, absorb it, and take the time to work up a true and proper apology to you, Tua.
I do. I guess I feel bad he has to talk about it in a press conference. Like, maybe that's a little personal. You want to just not have to talk about your personal life.
Well, he makes it worse by saying it's disrespectful. If he just says, I'm not talking about that, it goes away. But now
was he caught off guard? Did he know he was going to get asked about it? Because it seemed like he was caught off guard with his answer about perspective and getting married. Like he had no idea what to say there. Because he's like, I've been married for a month. What do you want me to say, guy?
How has your life and perspective changed? Well, I trust the media less. Because he thinks somebody was standing outside the courthouse. That's a bad job, incidentally. I don't mean a poorly job done. I mean a poor job to be standing outside the courthouse waiting for Tagovailoa's name to scroll across.
Is it though?
Government paperwork. It doesn't sound like.
Yeah, but it's how you make your name in this industry is by reporting. You start small. I mean,
I have no idea. I really don't think someone was on that beat.
Was it Slater?
Pretty sure it was Slater.
Who got married today? I don't think anyone is on that beat.
You think it's like what you have to do, though, to make a name, right?
You think whoever reported throws like a Twinkie to someone working at the courthouse? Like, what's the thing? What do you think? How's this work? How's reporting work?
Like Chris said, it is the least interesting news. Like, he's married. That's it. He's married. All right.
You could have told me he was married prior to, and I would have had no idea.
Same.
Yeah,
no idea.
No idea whatsoever. The Tua stuff, I say this as someone that adores the young man.
We all love Tua.
We all do. So much.
So much.
With all our hearts, collectively.
Don't say we.
He's not there yet.
Whittingham is welcoming Tuanon. Well, Whittingham does not have fear of Tuanon. I'd also like to just ask you guys, is wedding news private? Because I thought it was almost the opposite of that. Like, you send out announcements.
You're supposed to be proud of it.
But it's just, if you want to keep it private, I suppose that you're entitled to.
It is funny coming from you.
Yeah, you're making Greg Cody's point right now.
Oh, fair enough, but he announced that I was engaged.
And he's a friend
of yours.
Not that
I had gotten married and done the government paperwork that involved, like, people having my name in marriage certificates. I wanted to be able to tell my family before they read about it in the Miami Herald, which I was not able to do. That is slightly different.
It is slightly different.
And I wasn't yet married. I was just engaged to be married.
I don't know. The more it's aging, the more I'm on Team Greg. But the point that I was trying to make...
Well, the more he's aging, you mean.
Before Chris announced that he did not submit anything for the wedding registry, shame on you, Witty, is that, you know, I would say an independent person, not someone that is so tied to a fandom such as myself, would say this Tua thing is weird by fan standards. I've never really seen anything like it. It wasn't even like this around Wade. The only thing that I could compare it to was just the national hostility towards the big three and how you or anybody was willing to break a beer bottle over a nightstand to shiv a beat writer from Indiana the second they said something wrong. And that was like the most heightened sports support I've ever seen down here. The Tua thing is the closest thing to that. They are so proud and at times irrational, rabid supporters.
Be careful.
Of Tua. Well, I'm one of them.
They is why I told you to be careful. Right.
Yeah, okay, I appreciate that.
We
are like that, and I've never really seen anything like this surrounding a quarterback, and that dates back even to Dan Marino.
I think what is happening there is that Dolphin fans are craving so much to matter again that he represents every bit of hope. High draft pick. Comes in with the pedigree, and we still don't know what he is. And so he's sort of the maximized personification of, I want to hope that this person is what I think he is, and therefore I will get all the information I need to confirm that bias of, this is who I think he is. But he's also derived an unusual amount of skepticism in a very short time, given that it's not very fair to try and judge him through injury and offensive line. So there are plenty of people out there, more so than you see with most young quarterbacks. They're not doing it to Burrow or Herbert. They've shown you something. Most young quarterbacks that come out with fanfare are not still inconclusive, because you can still argue about what this person is. Usually, you know, one way or the other by now, oh, this doesn't look like it's going to happen, or this is obviously going to be a good player.
And sometimes it takes a few years. I mean, Burrow went to a Super Bowl, so he answered. There were questions last year headed into his second year because of the injury as to whether or not Joe Burrow would be good, but he went to a Super Bowl. And so that helps. And Herbert was good right away. So there's no questions there. Tua, I mean, there's still questions. I understand why.
You do Super Bowl, and we still do this winning stuff with quarterbacks. So I will read to you a stat of the day I saw over the weekend.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
It is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Mark Sanchez has more playoff wins than the combination of Dak Prescott, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Kirk Cousins, and Justin Herbert.
Sanchez. He had two runs, AFC Championship game, back-to-back.
We do still do, if you've done some winning, we will make you better than you are. But I don't think a whole lot of people were questioning Joe Burrow in general last year. But Tua, after a couple of years, you still don't know. Everyone listening to this, I don't know that there's a player in the league. You say you've never seen anything like this in South Florida, a combination of team, sport, position, and on a whole bunch of other factors, but give me all the other guys in that sport, fantasy leagues or otherwise, where you ask people, hey, what is he?
Yeah.
And and the question is more like, I don't know. The question doesn't have, you can have your firm beliefs, but it's hard to construct an argument on either side. Like, we know what this player is as a pro.
I think that there are arguments to be made for Daniel Jones being in that class, especially because he's been dealing with injuries. And right before he got hurt, he was playing some of his better ball. Prior to everything just unraveling in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield, we were asking that midway through last season.
You don't
think
most people have given up on Daniel Jones, even though his team was super injured last year as well?
He's had bad coaching. I think
with Dable coming there, people are expecting big things from Daniel Jones.
Yeah, it's certainly a make or break year for him, but I think
turnovers, man.
I know.
Yeah, a lot, but Josh Allen kind of fixed that part of his game too. Good point there, Tony, in the corner.
He's still very reckless, though. Josh Allen is very reckless.
Yeah, but when he was playing his better ball prior to the injury, he was limiting that somewhat, and he showed promise, a real high ceiling for someone who is super surprisingly athletic. I am not Team Daniel Jones, by the way. I'm just trying to give you an answer to your question of who else is like Tua.
No, that's a good answer. I don't think many people listening to this, though, think to themselves, well, if the Giants just add Stephon Diggs, then Daniel Jones will be great.
But to your point, like...
Or Stephon Diggs is OC, which is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giants fans are not like... forming a cult around Daniel Jones. That's the weird part of this. The weird part of this is that there are other young quarterbacks that are in a proven stage of their careers, and their fan base are not, like, willing it into existence. As a matter of fact, it very often goes the opposite direction, which is the Giants fans are ready to move on to whoever the next quarterback is. And that's the thing that's sort of surprising to me, is that Dolphins fans are so... You're right. This is a manifestation of hope. But I have never understood why the manifestation of hope is not having high standards. It's instead trying to convince you that the person who is deeply average in front of you is not deeply average. And that we're going to find some accuracy deep downfield stats. They're going to make you believe that what you're seeing is not what you're seeing.
I think we see all this Tua chatter on Twitter. We don't know it's not happening within the local market in New York, right? Like, there could be a contingency of Giants fans
This is rabid, loud, and defensive.
Yeah,
it's unusual.
We're closer to it. I don't know if this is like... I think this might just be our prism here.
Then as a reformed Baker Mayfield cultist, let me tell you that that's probably the closest comparison. And there were plenty of reasons why it went poorly. Coaching, certainly one of them. Injury, another, for Baker Mayfield.
But I also thought Baker Mayfield had a much better and bigger track record than Tua does at the moment. At the moment, Tua has proven far less than Baker Mayfield did entering those seasons of expectations. And to boot, had that incredible receiving core with him as well. So, again, I don't know on what basis, when Tua has been preferred against other quarterbacks multiple times during his time in Miami. Last year was at times Jacoby Brissett. The year before it was Ryan Fitzpatrick. And again, it might have just been a coach that didn't believe in him. But multiple times... his head coach and offensive coordinator preferred other quarterbacks, and he is still the source of this great belief. Now, it could still happen, but I don't know what in 2 years gives the fan base such a rabid expectation where I'm seeing every time he throws a deep pass on my social media feed.
This is what I would say to you, though, because it is hard to construct a winning argument on Tua will be great, but it has everything to do with what's been assembled around him to now inflate the hope, because he's not allowed any excuses anymore. It can't be about injuries or offensive lines, and they will be dismissed as excuses, even though I think they're explanations. I don't think they're excuses, but this is the world that he works in.
By all accounts, though, this training camp has given you reason to be even more excited if you are pro Tua, or even if you're one of those like Witty that is a bit more skeptical. He's taken fewer sacks. He has displayed quantifiably a bigger arm, more accuracy on deep passes, more ability to actually go deep. There's a lot of exciting news coming out of the beat reporters that are covering this team right now surrounding the quarterback, and he's making a lot of people believers with his performance.
But it's training camp, Mike.
Like, that matters, though. Training camp does matter.
He's got to show them somewhere. It's the only place that he can show them anything. Right? There are no other options.
He threw a 60-yard pass into a net in the corner of the end zone, which somebody should confiscate that video. Again, there are now people that are shooting videos of guys telling them to stop recording on their cell phones. The blatant disregard for the rules at Dolphin Camp is truly the main headline.
This Friday, Boy Kills World.
The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the lead-in sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. All in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Don Levitard.
A few blocks from here, somebody was killed with a samurai sword. How the hell is someone being killed with a samurai sword?
Guess by impaling.
Thank you, Mike.
Stugatz.
Do we know that it was intentional? Because I know of someone that was stabbed with a samurai sword once, but it was an accident. Like, the person was doing a school project, and there was a scene where there was, like, a samurai sword, like, stabbing situation, and the person was on the ground, and they were supposed to roll one way, and they rolled the other way by mistake, and accidentally got stabbed with the samurai sword. As far as I know, they've made a full recovery, but it could be an accident.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Can you hear me?
Look at
him. Yes, sir.
You look different, Baselli.
He's radiant. You do look, Baselli, you look younger. You look like a different human being right now. You look like excellence personified. And a fountain. Did you spend the weekend drinking liberally from a fountain of youth?
I drank the weekends drinking other things, probably not going to get me to the fountain of youth, but I guess it worked. You know, this is what happens when you spend the weekend with Stugatz.
Yeah. You sound like the way you sound right now. That's right. Where's the jacket, by the way? Exactly. You took it off.
Why did you take off the jacket? Yes, please.
Want me to go get it and put it on?
If you don't mind. There. I didn't think it was too far away from it. So, guys, did you try and get in it? I would have loved to have seen you swimming around.
I asked him if I could try it on.
After a weekend of partying, whose jacket, it's not Baselli, whose jacket you think smells the worst after the weekend?
We should ask him when he gets back here.
Warren Sapp, maybe?
You're going all Hall
of Fame. I'm just saying, because they're all wearing them. You see these videos, everyone's wearing them all weekend. So I'm wondering, like, who goes after it, where they're like, after on Monday, it's like, I got to take this thing to the dry cleaner.
Look at Baselli. Look at him. Even
so
younger.
Happy for
even
you.
Younger than he was 5 minutes ago. answer Chris Cody's question. And obviously, a million ways over, congratulations, because despite my very violent and agitated protestations, you are a Hall of Famer. And he's asking whose jacket smells worse after the weekend. Like, of all the gold jackets that were partying, who do you imagine was wearing it too much and was a little too sloppy with the drink?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I might be right up there. I was sweating through this thing on Saturday night, so might have a little tequila smell to it too. So we'll have to get it cleaned when I get back.
Does Chris Berman get an honorary jacket? I feel like that dude's like sweating a lot.
I don't think so.
But he'd be up there.
You have to get in.
Boomer.
Stugatz, what were the highlights of the weekend that you got to spend in the Hall of Famer's bosom?
I would say the ceremony, the speech, the enshrinement ceremony. I cried during Tony's speech. It was weird. I went into rooms that Baselli has no idea I went into. He still doesn't know those stories. I will tell those later on. I would say the after party, hanging out with Tony's friends, his family, his high school coach, and the great lengths that Tony Baselli, during the busiest weekend of his life, maybe the most important weekend, of his life went to make sure I felt comfortable, I was okay, I had everything I needed. I was like, man, you're a Hall of Fame human being, because I wouldn't do that. And Bocelli was there for me. But that after party was ridiculous. Like, it was. Now, I know you're mad at me because I went home early, but I had to take your high school coach home. I mean, the great Sam Pagano. He asked me to give him a ride home. I mean.
Well, the funny thing is, by the end of it, I think Coach Pagano was more excited to meet Stu Gotts than to be there to support me. He literally came up to me and says, "You're friends with Stu Gotts?" I met him. I'm like, "Coach, yeah, I'm not sure that's something I'm proud of." But yes. The big disappointment, though, was Stu. All of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I was just starting to get going because I had to do all the, you know, handshaking, kissing babies and pictures. Stu sneaked out. He couldn't hang.
Well, I had to take Sam home. Listen, Sam was going to stay. Like, he was not leaving without me. And so I think his daughter was there, and she was like, "Listen, Dad's got to get home. And the only one he wants to go home with is you." Now, I drew the line at, "Hey, come up to my room," and I just dropped him off in the lobby of the hotel. But Sam Pagano, who was a guy who told you you'd be no good at quarterback to go to left tackle, one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. I enjoyed spending time with him and your entire family, Tony. Wonderful people.
No, Stu gets a reputation as an idiot, which is probably rightfully so sometimes. But Stu, it was fun having you. And my only fear is now, Stu made friends with all my golf buddies. And yeah. Stu's let me know before he left. He says, "Hey, I'll see you on Friday when we play golf." And I'm like, "No, I can't wait."
They invited me, Tony.
Mr. Gotts, when you volunteered to drive home Coach Pagano, did you think it was Chuck?
No, I knew it wasn't Chuck at this point because we had established that. I spent the evening before with Sam as well. I didn't drive him home. Tony had shuttles arranged for everyone, but he needed someone to go with him in that shuttle, and that someone was me. And there was no way I was going back once I was there.
Tony, what were the most emotional moments of the weekend for you, the ones where you felt it catching in your chest a little bit?
So, Dan, interesting. I think the most emotional I've gotten has been this morning. I woke up early and, you know, like all of a sudden the chaos and the storm are going from one event to the next. And I was sitting here quietly kind of doing what I usually do in the morning is, you know, read the Bible, get some quiet time and just kind of reflect. And I found myself getting emotional this morning as much or more than at any moment. And I think that what hit me and what is overwhelming, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame is great and it's amazing. And it's like, it's a validation and it's of the career I played and how I played on the field and my legacy and everything there. But the overwhelming support from people in, you know, that I love, you know, we talked about Sam Pagano and Coach Robinson was there. My offensive line coaches from SC, John Matsko and Mike Berry and, you know, a bunch of Jaguars. But then like the amount of people in Jacksonville that spent their hard-earned money. And I think we forget this sometimes. I mean, people took a lot of time off work. It's not cheap to get a flight today, and it's not cheap to spend, you know, a week in Canton. And the fact that they would do that for me to come celebrate was amazing. And so that's been hitting me this morning, and I've got choked up a few times. And then during the week, I think two of the really cool moments for me. There was a bunch, but walking the gauntlet on Friday night, that's when you get your gold jacket. You walk down in between all the Hall of Famers, and I must have hugged every single one of them. And you get the jacket, and that's amazing. And then the speech is hard, obviously. There's some moments in there. And then, but during Saturday, I was sitting backstage. It was the first time I'd heard the Mark's video, and I got choked up before I got on stage hearing him talk about me. So, I'm sure I'm missing moments. It's an amazing experience, amazing week. And I'm just full of gratitude for the people in my life to come celebrate with me. It's really cool.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, the gauntlet, the gauntlet for people that the gauntlet for people that don't know, because it's not televised, you don't see it, is the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's all the Hall of Famers. Dan Fouts, he announced all the Hall of Famers. They all came out. They form a line. And Tony walked through that line, and you could see how happy he was and filled with pride. I will tell you, I was sitting with some of your friends. They were mocking you because you took the longest to get through the gauntlet. I mean, it was like a half hour, Baselli. I mean,
it was long, but here's my thinking. Like, I am not going to rush through this. I'm going to do it once. I do not care what anyone else thinks. I mean, I just don't care. And my idiot golf friends, I don't care what they say ever. And so it has no consequence. And I'll tell you one cool thing. I mean, it was amazing. But I'm walking down the gauntlet, and I'm hugging everyone. I look to my left, and sitting down as at his age is Jim Brown. And I just shook his hand and just said, I looked at him. I mumbled something along the lines, you're the greatest ever. But I said, that moment hit me. I'm like, holy cow. I'm on number one. I'm in the same group as Jim Brown. Number two, I'm sitting here shaking his hand. And so that was a really cool moment. But Friday night was funny. So you guys will appreciate this. You know, so it's this big civic center, and they have an arena where the gauntlet is. But before that, they have a bunch of like ancillary rooms where people eat and everything else because they sell it out. And they take us through each of the rooms to kind of wave and everything. And I walk into one of the rooms, and there is Stu Gotts sitting with my high school coach and making sure he got up to let me know that he was there. I mean, in the midst of all these people, I mean, Stu Gotts coming up like we'd grown up together in Colorado.
You gave me a big hug, Tom. I mean, you did. You gave me a big hug. You told security, watch out, this guy's trouble. I mean,
can you take us through, because I imagine it's frenzy, it's meetings, it's nervous. You don't want to speak necessarily in front of people. You want to get the speech right. You keep meeting people. It's a drain. It all goes by very fast. But now you've got your Bible. You've got your gratitude. You've got what you're articulating is love. And I imagine somewhere in there is, oh, look, these people who helped me get here, I got to bring them along for the ride. They got to feel like they're happy for me, but they're just happy. Like, these are the people who made sure that I got up here.
Yeah, Dan, it's perfectly said, by the way, because that's exactly how I feel. I don't believe any human being gets anywhere by themselves. And maybe there are circumstances I don't know about. But I've never been one to beat my chest and say, see, look what I did. In this whole process, I wanted to make sure the people that are really important to me and the people who supported me, I wanted them to feel like they were going in with me. I wanted to let them know that I am not here without them. I'm not here without, I'm not sitting in there without Sam Pagano, with John Matsko, my first offensive line coach, with Coach Robinson, Mike Berry. I could go down the list of teammates, my family, obviously, my parents, my wife, I'm not here. And I think it's just, I've never believed we do anything on by ourselves. And Stu heard me say Saturday night at the private party, one of the most important things in this whole world to me is relationships. And that's what gives life value. At the end of this life, when I'm laying on my deathbed or whenever that, hopefully it's not for a long time, you know, how many awards I won or, you know, how much money I have or don't have or this or that, that's not what I'm going to remember. That's not what's going to be out, that's going to mean the most to me. It's going to be the relationships. It's going to be the people that were on this ride with me. And as I rode into Canton, I wanted to make sure that I had the biggest bus, biggest, whatever vehicle I needed to make sure all the people that helped me get there had a seat and were on the ride. And they know in their hearts that, yes, I'm getting celebrated. Yes, I'm going to Hall of Fame. Yes, it'll be my bus. I got the gold jacket, but they're going in with me. They are there with me. They're a part of it. And this does not happen without them.
We felt it, Tony. I can speak on behalf of everyone that we absolutely felt it. We went in together. I mean, that's what you and I did.
Why weren't you on the parade together?
Tony, I was there at 8 a.m. No, that's not true, Tony. Tony, I was there at 8 a.m. I have video footage. I mean, and I was cursing Brunel in that video. Enough for Brunel.
Was he late? I mean, Baselli, was he late? What happened? Did he miss
I'll just say this. When I left the hotel to go get on the car, there was no signs of Stu Gotts. The first text message I got from Stu is I'm sitting on the on some old Mustang or Corvette, whatever it was, driving the parade route, and Stu asking, where am I? I'm like, what do you mean, where am I? I'm on the parade.
Where were you? I mean, Jesus Christ. Stugatz, I mean,
were you late?
Dan, you were there, okay? He said, be there at 8 a.m. You did the interview with me last week. He said, 8 a.m. parade, you're on it. I was there at 7:55.
He's alleging publicly that were late. Yeah. The Hall of Famer, the Bible holding Hall of Famer, who everyone says is a sweet man, is calling you a liar publicly after his big weekend where he spent it dedicated to you.
The only pass I'll give Stu Gotts, I still don't think he was there at the hotel at 8. I can't prove that because I left earlier to go to the parade route.
Right. Should have told me that.
So, well, I'm sorry that you
were slept in. I mean, you know.
Tony, thank you.
So maybe he showed up to the hotel and just got confused of where the parade route started. Stu Gotts, I apologize. I did not give you very specific written out, handwritten directions of exactly where to be at all points, at all times.
I got to be honest. I saw you in the car with Brunel, and then you had two Jeeps following you, and it was your family.
You've been in the Jeep, by the way.
I know.
Been in the Jeep with the kids.
I know, but I saw your kids there. They were having a blast. I didn't want to be in the parade. I saw your family, and I realized this is for really important people. It's not for me.
Here we go.
I'm telling you.
It was
outrage, you guys are right. Chickens, you're right.
Tony's super confused.
Almost went home. I was so upset. I really was. But I do have a question for you. At any point during either of your speeches, the Hall of Fame speech or the speech you gave,
you're not going to do this
during the after party, did you think at all, man?
No.
I got to squeeze a Stugatz in here. Like I think you were thinking it. I do. I believe you were thinking it.
Well, you know, my thought was the only two people who would care about Stugatz being here were Stugatz and my high school coach. So yes. I passed on it. So I passed.
What you thought about it?
The only two people.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Well, we'll just say to make you feel better, Stu.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought about it.
Thank you.
There you go.
I love you. I mean, listen, we go in together, Tony. I mean,
Tony,
what a weekend. When I get into the Radio Hall of Fame, okay, you're invited. All right. Parade, everything.
Thank you.
You got it. And I'll mention you in the speech. I mean, because at that point, it'll be you and I in Jacksonville doing an afternoon drive. How about that?
Tony, thank you and a sincere congratulations. But thank you for including Stugatz in the show in a wonderful weekend. Thank you for taking such good care of the show. And congratulations again. An honor well deserved. You were at the top 1% of the top 1% when your body was cooperating.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. And I do appreciate all the support from the show and Stu and you, Dan. And one of these days, I'm still waiting for the invite when I'm in Miami to actually come in studio. I see all these other guys you have in there and gals. And I've yet to get the invite. So, Stu, it is now on you. I invited you to the party.
Right.
I'm now waiting for an in-studio appearance.
You're right. We'll talk about it Friday at golf, okay? I mean, how about that?
I'm not sure he physically fits in here. Is he too big? He's too big.
I don't think he can fit through this door.
This is not, I don't know. Not if he's wearing the jacket.
I think you're right, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations again.
See you guys.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.